Welven to the Pocket Coven podcast,
where magic meets mental health. I'm Amber Lenore, a witch and licensed psychotherapist.
I'm Callie Little, a sex educator and emotional support witch. And we're
the coven in your pocket.
Hey, Callie.
Hey, Amber.
I heard it's Ostara. Do you want to get naked?
It is a witch Sabbath. So yes, I want to get naked. I want a bone. I want to make bread. I would have wine, but now that I'm in my 30s, it makes me sad. So
same. Like, I'm sorry. I can't really drink anymore. My body doesn't like it.
Yeah. You know, I love I love aging, and I know that you and I have some differences in that. We really are coming at it from two different areas, but I will say I don't love every part of aging. I don't love how metabolizing alcohol, for example, makes me depressed for 4 days.
No.
But I do love that I'm like, I'm 31. I don't need to fucking drink and waste my money on alcohol. No.
Yeah, yeah. I'm closer to death, but I feel great, you know?
My back hurts even more, but
I'm constantly in pain, but I'm not constantly in existential dread like in my 20s. So, hey, I'll take it. My feet hurt, but I know who I am.
But I'm confident about my feet. yeah. Anyway, which Sabbaths? We are at just about the spring equinox. So we decided to do this episode on Ostara a little bit early because I know that I forget about stuff till the last minute, like all the time. Every full moon, I'm like, oh my God, it's the full moon. I have to put water out. It's midnight. you know, last minute witches, it's fine. We all have ADHD these days. But I thought it would be nice to prepare for Ostara this time. And part of the reason that I remembered this is because you and I are actually planning to celebrate Ostara.
Yeah, for the 3 days of Ostara, which is March 19th, 20th, 21st. We will be in our favorite place up on the peninsula, celebrating, getting in the ocean, laying around, buying crystals, going to mountaintops, all that kind of stuff. Celebrating spring.
Being selkies on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And riding our eagles. If you are not a follower of our Instagram, you won't have seen that a couple weeks ago, Amber and I took a little day trip to the peninsula so that we could just kind of, you know, unwind and juice up. We just took the ferry, went for a few hours and came home. And while we were on the beach, we were doing an active imagination meditation. And Amber came up with the idea that we would both visualize getting on a boat and maybe the boat would go to an ancestral island. But the main part was, we're going to go on a boat. And as we're having these beautiful meditations individually, I heard a bird above us, looked up, and there was a bald eagle just flying right overhead. And then it perched next to another bald eagle and a tree really close to us. And they just sat there the entire meditation.
They were humongous. We were sitting on the beach on the shores of Maristone Island, and I was so deep in this meditation, and Callie just says, look up. I look up, and I've never been so close to an eagle in my life.
Me either.
It was amazing. It was so magical. That place is thin as hell. It's just a thin place, which mm-hmm. means that the veil is incredibly opaque. So it just feels charged up with magic. Every moment that you're there, every time, I'm shocked. And I lived there for almost a decade and still find tons of magic. I feel like this whole podcast could be called Amber Likes the Olympic Peninsula.
Yes. Also, that's just the title of your memoir.
It's not a very sophisticated title, but I like it.
I was going to finish the story about our eagles, but Anyway, mine is named Ignatius and Amber's is Emerald. I don't know what Ignatius means. It's just the name that came up when I thought I should give it a name.
And I don't know why Emerald. That's its name. How could I know?
How can you know? These are things we must follow our intuition on. Who knows if those eagles agree that those are their names? It doesn't matter. Life is a projection, and this is a hallucination we all agree on. So
there is no spoon. So about Ostara.
So Ostara is the spring equinox. And Amber, I know that you did some research about the equinox. Do you want to share some facts with me?
Yeah, sure thing. Ostara is the second of three spring festivals on the Wheel of the Year. So that's a nice pagan structure for observing the passage of time. It comes between Imbolc and Beltane. This is a time for celebrating the balance between extremes that is found amid the seasons. In Wiccan mythology, the growing daylight is evidence of the god, so it's like the horned god, you can think about Pan, moving from infancy towards maturity. Likewise, the earth becomes warmer and more fertile as the goddess, the capital T-H-E, the goddess, is coming into the full power of her maiden aspect, so connected to the triple goddess. The promise of greener, warmer, more bountiful times is becoming apparent as buds and blossoms emerge from the trees and shrubs, bees return to begin the pollination cycle, and fields of grass wake from their winter slumber.
Like me. I've been in a winter slumber for like the whole year. I think we all have. You know, I had learned that the equinox is special because it's, you know, the 2 days of the year when the night and day are the same length. And while that is generally true, it's pretty much true, depending on where you're located on the planet, whether you're near or far from the equator, it may not be exact. It's not down to the second unless you are directly on the equator. However, one thing that is really magical and true about this day is that it's the two times a year when the Earth is lined up in this exact location on the equator. So you can split hairs if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. But, but you know, it's magical no matter the reason you celebrate it. And, you know, side note, holidays are special because we've decided they are. And everything in life is the meaning you make out of it. No magic exists if you don't believe in it. And holidays are the same way. So if this holiday vibes with you, great. You get to celebrate it. And if it doesn't, you don't have to. There is no rule book for you. The reason that we're going over this is because it feels good to us to talk about these holidays that our ancestors participated in. And Ostara is traditionally actually a Germanic holiday. It isn't as old as a lot of holidays. And in fact, some of the most in-depth knowledge of it, which is not a lot, by the way, there's not a ton of history on Ostara, comes from the Brothers Grimm. Jacob Grimm actually wrote quite a lot about Ostara, and quite a lot is just relative to the rest that's written of it. There's not a ton. But I wanted to start by going into, first of all, Eostra, who is the goddess of Easter or Ostara. I wanted to talk about the origins of Easter, the Christian holiday, because from what I had understood incorrectly was it was just the Christian version. And it's a little bit more complicated than that. And I also want to talk about the origins of the Easter Bunny, who, by the way, would you define the Easter Bunny as a cryptid?
I would describe the Easter Bunny as horrifying.
Okay. I'm going to say that I believe the Easter Bunny is a fae.
Ooh.
And let me tell you about it. Okay. So Eostra is the Germanic goddess of spring and dawn. So it seems that she has something to do with the name Ostara. all of the origins are muddy. Nobody knows exactly the history of this, from what I can tell. And let's be really clear, I'm not an academic. I'm a gal with a Google machine and some books.
Yes, and my research revealed the same, that it's not very old. Not all pagans or Wiccans celebrate it. It's one of the lower holidays in the Wheel of the Year, which means that it's just celebrated a little less, right? So, yeah, neither of us are scholars of Wiccan mythology yet, but I think, but I tend to think that Callie's right on this one.
I tend to think I'm right, like, all the time. No, I don't. Not really. But I am a Virgo with a Capricorn rising, so
you are, you know, right all the time.
I mean, she said it, not me. So the tale of the Easter Bunny is that Eostre came upon a bird that had frozen wings, and the bird was, you know, in peril. And in order to save the bird, she transfigured, I guess would be the word, this bird into a hare. A lot of people have observed that hares seem to be associated with Eostre, as she was also thought to ride in a wagon led by hares through beautiful floral fields.
It's fucking badass.
Right? Don't you think that her and Freya should, like, ride their magical carriages together?
I do. I saw some videos on YouTube about Ostara that said that Freya is also connected. It's like these goddesses have all merged. Like Aphrodite could also be connected.
Well, and yes, the thing is, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's come back to that.
Let's put a pin in it.
We're going to put a pin in the goddess thing. I was about to say banana, the goddess banana.
In the goddess banana.
Because you peel it, you know, and then you reveal the fruit, I guess. Anyway, pin in the goddess banana. So Eostre came upon this bird with frozen wings, transfigured it into a hare. However, the transfiguration wasn't completely successful. It did look like a hare. It was essentially a hare, but it did retain its ability to lay eggs. And they were beautiful eggs. And every year, as a thanks to the goddess, the hare would gift Eostre with its eggs. So that's where we get the concept of the Easter Bunny and the beautiful decorated eggs.
That makes sense. That aligns with what I read that said that Ostara and its relationship to Easter are more separate than we think, that Easter as a Christian holiday really, really isn't about hares and eggs, that is uniquely pagan.
Yeah, and uniquely German. Mm-hmm. These are folk tales out of Germany, and we don't know if Eostre was actually a goddess that was worshipped or if she was just a mythological idea. I don't know if goddesses and folklore, like mythology and folklore, are they apples and oranges or are they like tangerines and oranges? I don't really know. But part of the magic is that we don't get to know. We get to observe. So Easter does sound like Eostre. It also sounds like Ostara. It also sounds like a phrase that I can't pronounce from this old European language. I know that's vague. That's what I've got for you, though. And the phrase meant dawn or shine. So Easter could come from some pagan roots in its name and in some of its practices, or it could just come from a translation. We don't really know. We do know that in general, a lot of religions have overlapping tales.
Yes, I also read that there's so many resurrection holidays cross-culturally. There's tons of religions that have some sort of rebirth ritual or rebirth holiday to observe every year.
Well, rebirth it's an archetype of the hero's journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all need that story. We need to know that there's more than the life that we've led, whether that's metaphysical or just symbolic. You know, we all the time say, like, I feel like a new person. This is the new me. Rebirth is something we all do all the time. We just tend to think in these days, we tend to think of these things very literally, and like rebirth or resurrection means that, you know, somebody died and then they're brought back to life 3 days later. And I'm not saying that that's wrong to believe in. What I am saying is I saw a meme the other day that said CPR is just a low-level necromancer spell. And I was like, yep.
Oh, yes. Ooh, I love that. Yes, exactly. You know, this feels very connected to why I identify as a witch. I observe that I change and continue to resurrect myself over and over and over again. I know that when I support other people in that process, they heal and they feel better. And that is what the natural world is constantly doing. And so feeling a congruence between what the natural world is doing and what my internal world is doing, and allowing those things to work in harmony with each other, is pretty foundational to my practice as a witch. I think it's foundational to all of witchcraft, is that we're in harmony with nature. I think that's what they mean, or at least that's what I mean by in harmony with nature.
Yeah. I mean, I think that by having these holidays that remind us to pay attention to the natural world, we're able to be in relationship to it. And I was thinking about this in a very different, facet of my life earlier today. I was thinking about my relationship to objects. So something that I started working on last year, a little bit before last year, was building a relationship to the items I own rather than just buying new things. And what I mean is, instead of buying new hiking boots, taking care of the boots that I have and getting new insoles and getting them resold instead of getting totally new shoes, because we've gotten into this habit of, you know, buying, using something not even all the way up and just throwing it away and getting a new version of it instead of just taking care of things. So I was depilling my cashmere sweater today. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot how much I love this sweater. You know, I got it to travel with when I went on my trip last year. And it's such a great fabric. Like, it's so soft. It doesn't absorb smell. It's easy. Well, it's easy to clean as long as, you know, you're not too persnickety, because cashmere. But I have a relationship with this sweater, and I just had forgotten about it. And I feel like holidays are that reminder for the natural world and us. It's like, oh yeah, we have a relationship to this, because the world is, it is part of us. We're made of the same molecules, not to get completely woo on my witch podcast, but we're made of the same stuff as the planet. Of course, we have a harmony to us, and just cluing in to, you know, the cycles of the seasons and what they represent, looking at the hero's journey, which we talk about a lot on this podcast, and we haven't actually done an episode on what that means yet, but you know we're going to.
There is a Jungian witchcraft episode brewing inside of me.
Yes, that is your territory. Like, that's a you steered episode. Mm-hmm. So when you're ready, it's going to happen.
Okay. Callie, I love everything you're saying, and it's hitting a few little points in my day, even just today. I was listening to the Last Bohemians podcast, an interview with Marina Abramovic, the performance artist. I really love her. Her crone energy is fucking impeccable, and I am so challenged by aging in a lot of ways, but when I think about her, I feel a lot better. She was talking about hugging trees today, and I just started crying. I'm like driving with my pug. Marina Abramovic is talking about walking up to a tree and telling it how you feel, venting on this tree, because that's what it's there to do. It's there to hold you and absorb you and be there with you. And she advocates for putting your arms around a tree for at least 15 minutes and just talking with it and she doesn't say this, but she's co-regulating with it. It's amazing that we can do this. Human beings have the ability to tune nervous systems to one another. We have mirror neurons in our brains to literally mirror and build resonance with other people, objects, trees. And I just love that. I love that so much. There's so much magic in walking out to the ocean or walking out to a field and closing your eyes and feeling it. And for lack of better words, fucking vibing. You know what I mean? Just letting the wind touch you and thinking about your thoughts, like bringing symbolism into it. It's so, at least for me in my practice, it's so enriching and it builds something into my practice that isn't just intellectual. I can be really, really brain heavy. And if I have a somatic practice to go along with my witchcraft, then, you know, I feel a lot better. I feel more connected and embodied with that identity.
I love that. It reminds me of when I took a tree talking. I don't really know what it would be called, but when I took a workshop on how to talk to trees with this local witch, Suzanne Reagan Lentz. And I feel like she probably calls herself a witch, but I don't know for sure. So, Suzanne, if you're a witch, great. If you're not, I only mean it with love. She said that trees are living beings, which we do know is true, right? And they're just so much slower. You know, you can look at a time lapse of a tree and they move and they grow. And, you know, even looking at trees that have like power lines above them, they don't grow up to touch the power line and then move. They move out of the way. Like they have, whether we recognize it as the kind of sentience we have or not, they have a sentience. The world has a sentience. Everything does. And if you disagree with me on that, that's totally fine. It's just that when we slow down and we do take time to build relationships with trees or our sweaters or whatever, it just has more meaning, and that is the point. It's just the point.
As above, so below. As within, as without. If you're pilling your sweater, you are also pruning your interior landscape.
In order to make a sweater, you must first invent the universe. So how do we celebrate Ostara? I found one interesting bit, and this is the little tidbit that I got from reading Jacob Grimm's writing on Ostara. He said that around this holiday, to celebrate the spring's arrival, maidens would wear dresses of white and gather on mountainsides. So the one thing that we know about this ancient German holiday is that the maidens wore white. So that's something you can do for Ostara. A really lovely idea that I read about on Arcane Alchemy, which is a website that is run by, I believe, a YouTube witch, but I'm unsure. You can Google it. She recommended blessing some seeds and then planting them with your intentions for this new awakened season. And she said that what you can do is you can nurture the plant, and if it thrives, you know that your manifestation is going to come true. I am a bit more of a chaotic witch than that. While I am not a chaos witch, I just don't have the patience to get something to seed, to root, to come to be a plant, and then take care of it. I'm just not good with that. So my idea for my fellow lazy witches is to make some seed bombs that you can bless and just throw outside, probably not in like your neighbor's yard, and get to know your local flora, you know, see what can help, but maybe find some seeds that help your local bees or if you have a yard, you know, hummingbirds and butterflies, the kinds of things that you want to be seeing in your yard, think of it as an offering to them and to the natural world. Do a little blessing on them. And either you can just make a mix of seeds and throw them out there. You can actually plant it if you want, or you can do one of my favorite things to do and make yourself some paper. It's actually quite easy. A quick Google will show you how to do it. And just add some seeds into that, and then you can either throw the confetti of it out wherever you want to plant it, or you can send it as cards in the mail to your loved ones that you can't be with right now, or give it as gifts to people, which I really love.
Those are beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I brought three rituals for Ostara that I'm pretty stoked about. One is typical. Every pagan holiday in the Wheel of the Year asks
bread.
For a new...
Yes.
Bread. I'm eating bread. I celebrate Ostara every day with bread. I'm always worshiping bread. Anyway, yes. Yes, bread. No, altars. Altars. Every pagan holiday wants a new altar. So true. Can you... Right? Can you clear a space? Can you put some fresh flowers? If you're lucky enough to have a garden or even have flowers near you, can you go grab those guys and make them part of a beautiful setup you put on an altar space? The other two are cord cutting. I just feel like the symbolism works here. I like it, right? You're being born. Your new self is being born. What do you got to do when a baby's born? You got to cut that cord. Right? Mm. Mm-hmm. So, Callie, I haven't even asked you, but I'm hoping that when we're celebrating Ostara, you can help me do some cord cutting.
I mean, we're going to be doing so many rituals. I already am thinking of like what gifts I'm going to craft for you.
Ooh. Oh, we have to do paper mache eggs and then marble dip them.
Yes.
That's what I did last year.
We have to do that and some like beautiful little, you know, we both have German blood in us too. You do, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah, like 16%.
That's a good chunk. We'll have to do some like little German, you know, decorations on them in honor of Eostra.
Yes, that's beautiful. The last thing that I have on Ostara is hot cross buns. So my quote is, every pagan holiday like Ostara is filled with both traditional and modern food in celebration of spring, including hot cross buns or cross quarter buns, which represent the element earth, air, fire, and water. In other pagan traditions, hot cross buns depict the directions east, west, north, and south, while in others they view it as the four phases of the moon, dark, waxing, full, and waning. I love that. I did not know that hot cross buns were like witch food, but now I'm going to make some.
I'm so excited for you to make us those. I actually thought that they were a Christian thing because of the cross. But you know, when you think about that like X-shaped cross, you turn it on its side. Again, all religions are sisters, you know?
One of the things I read in my research for this episode was that when Christians were trying to convert pagans, there was a lot of convincing them that it wasn't so different. So the reason, like one of the reasons that these traditions are really connected, that paganism or Wicca is really connected to Christianity, is because Christians were like, oh, okay, you like this fertility goddess? Cool, let's call her Mary. Same thing, same. That's fine, right? Sure, you can still do all that pagan weird shit. It's fine. We're just going to make it about this, right? See? It was like a soft start, a soft open, you know, for pagans to convert. So there's just so much interconnectedness between those faiths. They wove together.
I love that. And, you know, I know that a lot of us have roots in religion. I grew up Southern Baptist, and I know that a lot of people really struggle with seeing anything reflected in their current life that could be attached to those early experiences of religion. For me, and I offer this as, you know, an option. If this works for you, take it. If it doesn't, Don't worry about it. I feel like when I look at the roots of my spirituality and what I was taught early on, even though that specific interpretation of it doesn't resonate with me anymore, it's kind of like I've always had these threads of the truth in me, my truth, what works for me. And knowing the story's different translations, it feels like I found my language for faith, and that's really lovely. And if you are in that phase of your life where you just really need to hate the religion that you grew up with, you just really need to rage against it, go for it. We all have to go through a million different phases. And if you are ready to move out of that, or you're struggling and you're looking to find a way out of it, you know, looking back on it and thinking like, what a gift that I've always had these little seeds in me. And what a nice thought for Ostara. You have always had the seeds of exactly who you are, and you are currently the seed of everything you're going to be.
Beautiful, Callie.
Thanks. It's like I'm a life coach or something.
It's like I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, I do gag on my own bullshit when I'm like, oh God, life coach is the name. Because I know we're all life coaches these days, right? But counselor, mentor, whatever, podcaster, just podcast one-on-one with people.
Just a humble tender of the seeds of others. You're just tilling the soil.
I'm just a farmer of the soul.
Soul farmer. I call myself a feelings wizard.
I mean, yes. Yeah. I have been called emotional Gandalf before.
Emotions, they're so juicy.
You shall not pass my boundaries.
Flee, you fools.
So I wanted to real quick talk about the fact that we just published our very first installment of Self as Myth, which is our mini podcast led by the beautiful, the magical, the mystical Amber Lenore, LMFTA.
The voluptuous, the crass.
The fat, acid Amber Lenore. If you want to hear the first installment of that beautiful show, along with prompts for self-reflection and some tarot practices all about Medusa, you can become a patron at the witch tier and above. And if you do that, you also get access to all of our bonus content. This episode, we are going to be talking about the things that have been coming up in the community at large and how this period of time in the year can serve your self-love practices. So we're going to be talking about the difficulties that are coming up for everybody in relationships and in the concept of self, and how you can just be a little kinder.
How to nurture the self that you just gave birth to.
Indeed. And you know, one way you can nurture yourself is by wearing a good face mask from Rosy Cheeks, etc., who has the Pocket Coven collection. Although I will say they've been selling out so fast that there are only two styles left. And once those two styles are gone, they are gone for good. The good news is that we have a second collaboration coming out with them like next week. So if you want to get the two fabrics we have left, which are the moths and roses, I think we named it like Moth Garden. It's very pretty. Or the Wishing Stars mask. There are just four of them left, and you can use code POCKETCOVEN, all one word, for $3 off. And when you do that, you support the podcast too. And if they sell out by the time you hear this, no worries. That second round will be out soon. And the best-selling Serpents and Roses mask is going to be re-released in its original color, as well as a second color. It's going to be teal.
Ooh, I want that. I just got my Selkie mask in the mail today.
Isn't it comfy?
It's so comfy. It's nice and secure. I want to feel like there's no gaps. right? And I want to feel like a nice taut sausage when I have that mask on my face.
But like not on the nose. You don't want the nose to be tight.
No, no, exactly. Like it's nice and loose, not loose, but like comfy, snug there. Yeah, it's a great mask and it's really pretty. The packaging was cute too. I'm a slut for packaging. I'm just so excited when I get a really thoughtful package.
Mm-hmm. I sent the Selkie Blue to my mother-in-law as well. It's a beautiful, like elegant mask, you know, it's shimmery blue, but we do have more metallics coming out in this next line. So we're super excited about that.
And as always, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you like what we have to say, if you're enjoying spending time with us.
Our latest review on Apple Podcasts is titled, Yay! Exclamation point. And this is by Wendy. Can't wait for the next episode. I love it when you talk about pagan holidays. Oh my gosh, Wendy, this episode is for you. It gives me such good ideas and also helps me to feel connected while I celebrate from my home on my own pandemic. I hear you. It is pretty magical to have this like little virtual coven. And if you want to deepen the practice with us, our Patreon, where we have all those goodies, we are hosting a book club. We are starting this week on The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. We're going to be talking about things to look out for in each chapter. We're going to be talking about the themes that we can apply in magic, self-awareness, our therapeutic healing. And then once a month, we're going to be having live Zooms with everybody in the book club. So if you want to be part of that, it is getting pretty popular. We've already had a few people join just for the book club. So I'm very excited about that. And we would love to have you join.
All right. Well, if you're one of our patrons, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you all for joining us. And I hope that Ostara treats you fertily.
Brooms up, witches. I was really excited. This was actually the very first sponsor that you and I reached out to because we really wanted to build relationships with actual therapeutic tools into the podcast.
One of the biggest struggles I have as a therapist is just wrestling with the inaccessibility of mental health treatment. So because BetterHelp can do therapy from their home and do it remotely, that means that people, you know, they don't have to go anywhere, which can actually be a thing. Like if you don't have a car or access, getting to a clinic can actually be difficult. Mm-hmm. So just the convenience of being able to be at home, I think, is really important. And then that increases the possibility that people will actually utilize therapy.
Yeah, I know that it has felt like a significantly lessened burden for me to be able to do therapy from home just on my phone. And I really hope that the world just gets more comfortable with virtual therapy in general because of where we're at in the world.
I agree. And I think it's important that mental health consumers have the ability to have a say in who their provider is. As a therapist, I definitely, you know, I meet a new client and I'm like, well, you know, I don't think we're a good fit. So can I help you find someone who is? Or they tell me I'm not a good fit and that's fine. I think we really need to normalize that. And with BetterHelp, you can change anytime and choose a different provider if they're not a good fit for you. Because likely, you know, you might need to try on, you know, a few different kinds of providers before you find the one that's right for you.
Having therapists who are capable of helping me with my specific needs and to say that they offer that worldwide is really cool to me. Mm-hmm. Really like that BetterHelp has financial aid available for people.
This is a long-term therapeutic process, so this isn't a crisis line. It's different than that. It is not a self-help line. It's different than that. So it's a therapeutic relationship that needs to build consistently. So that's what you can get.
And because BetterHelp is partnering with us, you can go to betterhelp.com/pocketcoven and you can actually get 10% off of your first month. If within that time you decide you don't like your therapist, you can, as Amber said, just easily switch to a different one. It's super accessible and it's betterhelp.com/pocketcoven. That will get you 10% off. It'll get us just a little bit of a kickback. So it's a great way to support the podcast and your well-being at the same time.